Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Gimel. On the side, you will notice a nosei, a topic heading, and we've mentioned a few points. Tefillah b'chol lashon. We're continuing with trying to find out the sources for different recitations as being possible to be recited in any language, as opposed to those types of passages that are restricted to be said in Hebrew. Tefillah, Shmona Esrei, the prayer, the 18 benedictions that we say every day, 3 times a day, that can be recited in any language. And Haim Hamalochim Makirim B'chol Lashon. Another point that will appear in this Gemara is the recognition on the part of angels of other languages other than Hebrew. Let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says regarding Tefillah, Rachmihi, it's a beseeching for heavenly mercy, heavenly compassion. That is what the nature of tefillah is. And as such, kol hechi deboi matzli, however you should desire, so be it. Pray thusly. Rashi points out that you don't need a pasuk for justifying that prayer can be in any language. It's a svara, it's a type of, it's logical, since prayer is our turning to the Almighty then seeking His compassion in prayer, so you do it in any language that through which you can accomplish that goal. The Gemara asks, "Utfilah b'chol lashon? Is it really so that tefillah can be in any language?" Notice we have a long question here. The Omer of Yehuda, "Li'olam al yishal adam tzrachav b'loshon aramis." Yehuda says that a person should not recite, utter his requests in Aramaic. The Omar of Yochanan, Kol Hashel Tzrachov Beloshon Arami, anyone who asks for his needs in Aramaic, of course we say ask your needs from the Almighty, Ein Malachei Hashoris Nizkokinlo, the service angels who are involved in the transportation of one's prayers to the heavenly throne, they do not attach themselves, they do not deal with people who request things in Aramaic. The service angels do not recognize Aramaic. These are, of course, very esoteric ideas. What does it mean they don't recognize it? Is it that they don't understand it? They don't want to understand it? Whatever the case is, we're presenting the Gemara in a very superficial, almost translation level, but nevertheless the point is conveyed that without the assistance of the service angels, the Malachi Ashari, so that one's prayers are going to really stay here on earth and not get to the heavenly throne. If that be the case, then how can the Mishnah tell us that tefillah can be in any language, and that would include Aramaic? Lo kashya, there is no difficulty. Ha biyachid, ha betzibur. It depends if the person is praying on his own, is not part of a tzibur. Tzibur is a minion of 10 males, 10 adult males. So if he's biyachid, he's praying privately, he should not pray in Aramaic. If however he's betzibur, he's in a group setting, the 10 male adults. Prayers like that don't require the intervention or the assistance of the service angels in the transportation and the carriage of the prayers to the Almighty. The Almighty is present, so to speak. Again, these are very esoteric ideas, but for the purpose of understanding this, the Almighty is right there when a group of 10 people are davening. That's the significance of what we call Tefillah B'Tzibur, amongst other attributes that it has, is this, that service angels are simply not involved in the transportation, in the conveyance of those prayers. The Gemara now asks a question, notice again it's a long question. V'ein malachei hashoris makirin b'loshan arami, is it accurate to say that the service angels do not recognize Aramaic? V'hot Tanya, we have a Tanaic source. In this Tanaic source there are two incidents, and it says as follows. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Yochanan the high priest, we should point out that the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, serves in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. He is the one that does the service of Yom Kippur, and part of the service is the Kohen Gadol's entrance to the Holy of Holies, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it happened as follows, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shoma Bas Kol, he heard a heavenly voice, and at this point we're associating this heavenly voice with angels, with service angels. So he heard a heavenly voice, Mibeis Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the inner sanctum on Yom Kippur during the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol, Shehu Omer, then this Bas Kol, this heavenly voice, was saying the following. There's an Aramaic phrase here, and it relates to the historical period of the Beis Hashmonaim, the Hasmoneans, that were warring with the Greeks. And it says, the heavenly voice said as follows, and you'll notice this is an Aramaic phrase, Nitzchu Talya. Nitzchu is that's a Hebrew word, but it means they were victorious. The Talia, that's Aramaic. That's the young Kohanim, Kohanim from the Hashmonoi Kohen family. They were victorious in battle. The Azlu La'agcho Krovel Antuchia. They went to fight a battle. Antuchia is the name of a place, but for our purpose, it's a reference to war against the Greeks. And they were victorious, and that's what this heavenly voice announced, quite in Aramaic. V'shuv ma'isa b'Shimon HaTzadik, another incident, this involving Shimon HaTzadik, also a Kohen Gadol, Sheshama Baskol Mibeis Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shu Omer, he heard a heavenly voice emanating from the Holy of Holies that announced, B'telas Avidita. Avidita is a military company. Betelus means they were canceled. This military force that was scheduled, that it was supposed to come and war against the Jews. Well, it was Betelus Avidita. The Chayil, military effort was canceled. The Omar Sano La Iso Al Hechla. The plan had been for the enemies, for the hated ones or the enemies, Laisos, to come upon the Hechal, to come upon the Beis HaMikdash, and to inflict injury and destruction. V'neherag Gaskalgis. Gaskalgis was the name of the king, of the Greek ruler. He was killed, Ubatlu Gzerosov, and when the ruler is killed, so his edicts are also cancelled. So his gzeros, his edicts were bota, were voided. The kosvu oisushah v'kivnu. They took note of the moment that this heavenly voice came forth, and it turned out to be exactly the time that these events took place. Ubaloshan arami hoya omer. And here's the main point. And these announcements from the Bas Kol were in Aramaic. So the Bas Kol, the service angels, are quite familiar with Aramaic. So the Gemara has two approaches through which to resolve this seeming discrepancy. On the one hand, we said that the Ein Malach Eshos Makir in B'loshan Rami, and here you have some indication to the contrary. Number one, Iboy Asema, if you like, you can say Bas Kol Shaini. A Bas Kol is a heavenly voice. It's a different spiritual entity than a service angel. the bas kol, its whole purpose is for disseminating information. It's a voice that is issued forth to be understood. That's de la ashmuya vida. We look in Rashi, shiny bas kol. The Rashi we're looking at is a little about halfway down the Rashi commentary. Oisamida hamemuna al kach, that is a power, that entity that's appointed over this, that we refer to as the bas kol. Yodas b'shivan lishanos, it knows the 70 languages. B'nei shasuya lashmiya, it's made for the purpose of informing, of making known. V'hi mishtalachas l'chol ha'lishonos pomim lozeh u'pomim lozeh, and it's sent to all different speakers of different languages, sometimes to this one, sometimes to that one. So the bas kol is not a challenge to the issue of the malachi ashores. We continue. Number two, v'boyes emol gavriel hava. Another approach is that the voice that was heard from the Kodesh Kodeshim was the voice of the archangel Gavriel. It's in English sometimes referred to as Gabriel. Diomar mor bor gavriel v'limdoi shivim loshon. This is a very, very terse quote, but it appears later in our Masechta that when Yosef was in Mitzrayim and he had to meet Paro was familiar with 70 languages, and it was urgent that Yosef would be able to meet Paro on his terms, also be conversant in 70 languages, and Yosef had not studied 70 languages, so miraculously through the intervention of this angel, Gavriel taught Yosef the 70 languages of the world, included in which is Aramaic, so that you see that the angel Gavriel, he is different, but in general other angels are not familiar with Aramaic, or Lo Makirin. Again, we said earlier that this the term Lo Makirin, it could be either they don't know it, they don't recognize it, or they don't want to be associated with Aramaic. Whatever the case is, the source that we read above is not a standard service angel. Birkas HaMazon, the grace after meals, that can be said in any language. Dichtiv, the pasuk in the Torah that is the source for Birkas HaMazon, V'yochalta v'savata v'rachta Hashem Elokecha. That's the pasuk, and we derive from this B'chol loshon shatom mevorech. The pasuk says that after you eat and are satisfied, you shall bless the Almighty. Bless the Almighty in any language. The pasuk doesn't establish which language to use. So you say it in any language. The Rashi points out that when, as we read the Gemara, we read Birchas HaMazon, you don't see the word menolon. From where do we know this? Because it's, Rashi points out, you don't need a pasuk to say that Birchas HaMazon is in any language, because there's no reason to think that it should have been restricted to Hebrew in the first place. So when you read the source for Birchas HaMazon, it simply says that when you, after you eat and are satisfied, so you bless the Almighty, and that itself entails the idea of bless Him in any language that you can. But Rashi is, it seems to me, very, very precise here in terms of the linguistic approach to Gemara study, and that is that the term menolon will appear when the Gemara is seeking a source for something that without which I would have thought otherwise. Here, with the Birchas HaMazon, the menolon word doesn't appear, because with regard to Birchas HaMazon, it's not as if I would have thought that it should have been only in Hebrew, that I need a pasuk to, we'll say, dispel that. We continue. Shvuas Ha'idus is, we say, in any language. Dichtiv. The pasuk says, V'nefesh ki sechta v'shama kol olah. The Shavuos Eidus was the oath that one would be required to take in the event that he claims he doesn't know testimony on behalf of someone else, and the court would impose upon the individual claiming he doesn't know testimony that he should swear to that effect. And the pasuk we just cited indicates b'chol lashon shehi shomas, the shama kol olah, the individual shall swear concerning his denial of testimony in any language that the person hears or understands. Now let's take a look at Rashi, and here we have something that ties into the point we mentioned just before with regard to the Birchas HaMazon. Notice Rashi Shvuos HaEdus, he has an extra word that we don't have in our Gemara. He has the word Minolan, and we explained a moment ago that when the Gemara uses the word Minolan, and according to Rashi's text, it seems that that word would have appeared over here in the Gemara. It's a word whereby the Gemara is asking, where do I know something without which I would have thought something else? And here, notice what Rashi does. He says, the E lo kosav kra, had I not had this pasuk, which says, v'shom'a kol olah, if I didn't have that, ika lememar, I would have thought, deboinon dumi deshvuas har grizim v'har evil shu b'loshon ha-kodesh. I would have thought that this thing, this process called shvuas ha-edus, is patterned after the oath that the Jewish people had imposed upon themselves concerning the blessings and the curses at Har Grizim and Har Evel that we alluded to when we studied the Mishnah. And there, the Torah has a source for it being in Lashon HaKodesh specifically. So here, the Pasuk tells us, don't think that Shavuos HaEdus is patterned after Har Grizim Har Evel, and therefore, since we have this Pasuk, I know not to pattern it after that, and hence it can be in any language. Shvuas HaPikadon, we say that Shvuah, the Shvuah, that person who was given an item to watch, he's a shomer, and it got stolen, and he claims as a result of his claim of theft that doesn't have to pay, being that the Torah provides an exemption for certain kinds of shomrim when it comes to theft, he nevertheless has to swear to that effect. And the Mishnah tells us that can be in any language. How do we know that? Asya techto techto mishvuas ha'edus. Through a word comparison, using the word techto, we conclude, just like in shvuas ha'edus, any language is acceptable, so too with regard to the shvuas ha'pikadon. V'elu ne'morin b'loshan ha'kodesh mikro bikurim v'chalitza. Here the Gemara is a bit terse, and it simply says ad mikra bikurim. The Mishnah made mention of a list of things that are said in Hebrew only, and that included the passage that one recites when he brings the bikurim, the first fruits of his orchard, of his fields. He brings to the Beis HaMikdash and presents it to the Kohen, so a passage is read. It's called Mikra Bikurim, and Chalitza, the shoe removal ceremony, what each party has to say. All of these have to be in Hebrew. So the Gemara goes over Mikra Bikurim Ketzad. How is the Mikra Bikurim, how do we know that it's only in Hebrew? The pasuk says, "V'onisa v'amarta l'fnei Hashem alokecha." That's a pasuk that appears in the context of Mikra Bikurim. U'lahalon hu omer, and later it says in Devarim Perachov Zayin pasuk Yud Dalid, with regard to the Har Grizim and Har Eval experience, where the Jewish people split onto these two mountains, and the Levium were down between the two mountains, and blessings and curses were recited. And in that episode, it says, "V'anu halavim v'omru el kol ish Yisrael kol rom." And from that pasuk, we say ma aniyah hamura lahalon b'loshon hakodesh, just like the word aniyah there by the Levium, by the Har Grizim story was in Hebrew, af kan b'loshon hakodesh. So too by bikurim, it is also because you see the word v'anisa, the same word, the same root word appears there. It too, mikur bikurim, is in Loshon HaKodesh in Hebrew. Leviim kufayim and on. And regarding the Leviim themselves at Har Grizim and Har Eval, when they were reciting the blessings and curses, how do you know that itself had to be in Hebrew? Very nice, we said that it says there vi'onu ha'leviim, but the word onu itself doesn't mean Hebrew. So the Gemara says, Asya kol kol mimoshe. In the case of the Har Grizim Har Eval Leviim experience, the pasuk said, and we had written this in between the lines, it said koil rum. So you see the word koil by the Leviim, and you find the word koil by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ksiv hacha koil rum by Leviim. You see the word koil rum. Uksiv hasam by the giving of the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. And now there is a basic assumption that the Torah was given in Hebrew. That is just that's axiomatic. So it says with regard to the Matan Torah, Moshe Yadaber V'Elokim Yanenu B'Koil, so that the Torah was given in Hebrew, and you see the word Koil there. Ma LaHalon V'Loshon HaKodesh, just like there by the giving of Torah was in Hebrew. Af Kan V'Loshon HaKodesh, so too by the Har Grizim Har Eval experience. You see the word koil rum, it too means Hebrew. And with that, then you can use the vionisa word that you find, or vionu, that word then takes on association with Hebrew, and that can be transferred then to other things where you see the word vionu, like mikra bikurim. Chalitza ketzad. And it went on in the Mishnah to say v'onso, v'omro, ulahalon ha'omer, v'chule, etc. And then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kocha, ad shetomar, b'loshon hazeh. So in our Mishnah we saw a machlokes, Tanakamo and Rabbi Yehuda, what's the source for chalitza being restricted to Hebrew? The Tanakamo had a gzera shava, comparing two different topics, and Rabbi Yehuda saw it in the posuk itself by chalitza, in which it says kocha, thusly. Kocha meaning a restricted word, means just as it is in the Torah, that's what they would recite. Now the Gemara asks for Rabbanan, hi kocha mai avdile, what do the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, what do they derive from the word kocha? Answer, mibaya lahu ledovar shumaisim akev. They use the word kocha to tell us that when it comes to the sota process, those things that are action-oriented, for example, there is the shoe removal, there is the spitting, that those actions are binding, they're ma'akev, without which the chalitza hasn't been fulfilled. Of course, the chalitza is the shoe removal ceremony to enable the widow of a man who left no children to be free to marry anyone she wants and not be restricted to the surviving brother. Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda know this point that a dover shu maisis ma'akev miko kocha? The pasuk, instead of saying ko, it uses and adds an extra chof, kocha, and that clues in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that the dover shu maisim ma'akev. The Rabbanon don't see any significance from the extra chaf for with regard to these purposes, and therefore kocha itself is the source for Dover Shumaisa Ma'akev. And as far as how do the Rabbanon know only in Hebrew, they don't learn it from kocha, but rather they learn it from the comparison that we saw in the Mishnah. We continue to the top of Amud Beis, Rebbe Yehuda, Hai v'onsa v'omra my Ovid lay. Rebbe Yehuda mentioned that the restriction in the case of chalitza is from the word kocha. What does Rebbe Yehuda do with the v'onsa v'omra posuk which the Rabbanan used in the context of a gzera shava? Answer: Miboya lay la'agmuri l'leviim de'baloshon hakodesh. What Rebbe Yehuda does with the onsa v'omra, he actually uses the chalitza pasuk as a source for Hebrew, and from the chalitza he learns gzeirah shava in the other direction to the leviim, that the parsha of Hargrizim and Harevel has to be in Hebrew. So that's what the Gemara answers. Miboya lei, he needs the onsa v'omra that you find by the chalitza le'agmuri le'leviim de'balosha kodesh, to teach me concerning the topic of Hargrizim and Harevel that it must be in loshana kodesh only. Question: V'leilif koil mi Moshe? Why not learn that just like you find in the by the parsha v'im you find the word koil rom, and by Matan Torah you see Vashem Yanenu Bekoil, and from through the Koil word comparison you could conclude, you would be able to conclude that the Leviim are done in the Leviim, the Hargrizim Harevel is in Hebrew. So that why does Rebbe Yehuda insist on learning the Leviim being in Hebrew from Chalitza? Rebbe Yehuda could have learned the Leviim be in Hebrew from Matan Torah. The Gemara answers, Ani Ani Gomir, Kol Kol Lo Gomir. This concept of comparison, of word comparisons, what we call Gzeirah Shava, is something a person does not invent on his own. It has to be something that you receive through an oral tradition, through a transmission from a Rav to you. And that Rav got it from his Rav. So that with regard to Rebbe Yehuda, he did not have a tradition concerning the word koil. He had a tradition, though, concerning the word aniyah. So the Leviim are derived from chalitza, and not, as far as Rebbe Yehuda is concerned, not from Matan Torah. Tanya Nami Hochi, a Tanaic source that supports this, Rebbe Yehuda, Omer Komokum Shinema Ko Kocha Aniyah Vamira, where you see any of these expressions, Eino Elo Loshana Kodesh. It indicates Hebrew only. Ko, where do we find that? Ko Yisavarchu. Thusly, the Kohanim are to bless the Jewish people in Hebrew. Kocha de Chalitza. Kocha is from the pasuk that you find by the chalitza, kocha sheyel selisha shelo yivnes beisachiv, and aniyav amira, those expressions you find by the leviim. And each one of those cases, the process or the recitation is restricted to Hebrew. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side. The Nosei reads Machlokes Tanoim al Hamikum shel Har Grizim v'Evel, a Tanaic controversy concerning the location of these mountains, which was the geographic point in which the nation of Israel recited blessings and curses, as are listed off in the Torah in Sefer Dvarim. Before we get into the Gemara text itself, of course you notice a very long Tanaic source, we want to read Pasuk Choftes of Perek Yud Aleph. We're talking about the end of Perek, toward the end of Perek Yud Aleph. Pasuk Choftes says, V'hoyo ki yaviyacho Hashem Elokecha el ha'oretz asher ato bo shalma l'rishta. And it will be when the Almighty brings you into the land that you are to inherit. V'nosata es habrocha al hargrizim v'esaklolol al har evol. the blessing will be when the Levim turn toward Har Grisim, and the Klola will be when they turn toward Har Eval. The Pasuk that we will see darshaned in the Gemara, in this Tanaic source, is the next Pasuk, Pasuk Lamed. So before we read the Gemara, which will break the Pasuk down into phrases, let's continue reading what we see in the Chumash, Pasuk Lamed, Halo Hemo Be'eva HaYarden. They are on the other side of the Jordan River, bearing in mind that the Chumash features the story of the Jewish people up till, but not including, their entrance into the land of Israel as a nation. So, geographically, the Jewish people were on the eastern side of the Jordan River. When you speak about the movement of people into Israel, which of course entailed the splitting of the Jordan River, you have them moving from east to west. So the Pasuk tells us that Har Grizim and Har Eval were on the other side of the Jordan. Acharei derech mevoi hashemesh be'eretz haknani hayoshev ba'arova mul ha'gilgol etzel elonei moire. Now, in order to appreciate the Pasuk, we turn to the Tanaic source, where Pasuk Lamed will be darshaned. Tonu Rabbonan. Again, the point here of this discussion is establishing the location of Har Grizim and Har Eval. The Pasuk says, Halohemo Beva HaYarden. What does that mean? Me'ever LeYarden V'Eilich, Divrei Reb Yehuda. It means it's on the other side of the Jordan. It means you'd have to cross the Jordan River and go way in. V'Eilich means go far in. It means you're going to be moving far west. Far west of the Jordan River. When we talk in terms of near and far, of course these are relative terms, but it's certainly not on the. It's not near the banks of the Jordan. The people would have to move further west, further in. That's Reb Yehuda's approach. There's another approach that, if you even skim down in the source, we've underlined the name halfway down a little more. Maybe you can see Reb Elozer says Halohema Bevar Yarden Somuch LeYarden. Right away, you can see that his opinion differs, and that he has the Har Grizim Eval located next to the Jordan River. So now, let's continue where we left off above. The Pasuk says, Achrei derech mevoi hashemesh, mokoim shechamo zoirachas. This is a tricky phrase. If we translate it, derech mevoi hashemesh is a reference to the point where the sun rises. The word mevo or bo hashemesh is a tricky expression. It can take on different meanings. According to Reb Yehuda, mevo hashemesh means the arrival of the sun. The sun rises in the east. So when the Pasuk says Halohemo be'eva hayarden derech mevo hashemesh, it means far from the east. Far from the Mokum Shechama Zorachas. The Pasuk says, Be'eretz Aknani HaYoshev Barova, Elu Har Grizim V'Har Eval SheYoshvin Bohem Kusim. The Pasuk says, in the land of the Canaanites that dwell in the Arava, the plains, so the Tanaic source points out that nowadays, when the Tanaic source was authored, the Kusi people live there. So that, for the as far as the source in the Gemara is concerned, it had a reference point to where the Har Grizim and Har Eval were located. What I want to point out is that when the Gemara says Shiyeshin Bem Kusim, that's not the interpretation of the Pasuk. The Pasuk speaks about in the land of the Canaanites that dwell on the plains, and that's Har Grizim and Eval. And for convenience purpose, the Tanaic source says, and if you want to know where that is, nowadays, if you know where the Kusis live, then you know where Har Grizim and Eval was located. Mul HaGilgal, Somuch LeGilgal, near Gilgal. Gilgal is a location referenced in the Torah when they crossed into the land of Israel. Eitzel Eiloneh Moreh Shechem. That is a reference to the town of Shechem. V'lahalon Omer v'yavur Avram Beretz Boretz ad Mokom Shechem ad Eilon Moreh. And here you see a Gezerah Shavah that we've seen in the past. Ma Eilon Moreh Amur l'halon Shechem. Just like Eilon Moreh that you see in the context of Avram is Shechem. That's clear in the Pasuk. Af Kan, so too, with regard to Har Grizman Evel, where Shechem wasn't mentioned, all was mentioned was Eilonei Moreh, so too Af Kan by the Har Grizman Evel understand Eilon Moreh to be Shechem. Omar Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi, B'dover Zeh Ziyafti Sifrei Kusim. Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi tells us that regarding this matter, I demonstrated how the books, the scrolls of the Kusim are a forgery. But if you just let's say deviate for the time being from a literal translation, what Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi is going to be telling us is that the Kusim, who were essentially non-believers in the oral tradition. Rashi points out that they had accepted the written Torah without the rabbinic tradition on how to understand the Torah. So he says to them, your approach to Torah by relying only on the written word will lead you nowhere. You will, and that's what he's saying, Ziyafti, I demonstrated to them that their approach is empty. Now, what did he say? Amarti lem, Ziyaftim Torahschem, v'lo aleisem b'yedchem klum. You made a mockery, a forgery of your Torah, and you got nothing out of it. Shatem omrim, you claim Eilonei Moreh is Shechem. You claim that Eilonei Moreh is a reference to the city of Shechem. Afanu modim she'Eilonei Moreh Shechem. We too, who have the oral tradition, agree that Eilonei Moreh is Shechem. Anu lamdinua b'gzeira shava. We have a gzeira shava method of learning, but that's an oral tradition. Atem b'amer lemadetum. You, how do you know? You don't have gzeira shavas. You don't have that as part of your, let's say, tools for understanding the Torah, because you deny the oral tradition. And as we mentioned earlier, the power of learning Gezeirah Shavah is only because you have it as a tradition from your rabbi, who in turn had it as a tradition from his rabbi. But you guys, you Kusim, who deny that whole aspect of Torah known as the oral law, how do you know that Eilonei Moreh is what you claim it to be Shechem? Rebbe Lozer Omer, Halo Heimo Be'eva HaYarden, Somach LiYarden V'Yelach. Somach liyardein, dichtiv. The section in parentheses is a skipped section based on the Bach commentary. So Rebbe Lozer says that the pasuk when it says halo heimo be'eva yarden means next to the yarden, immediately as soon as they would cross the Jordan River. Very close to that location would be Har Grizim and Har Eval. Tichtiv, the pasuk says, "V'hoya ba'avruchem es ha'yardein." That is in Devarim, Perek Chav Zayin, pasuk Dalet. If we just take a moment and read the entire pasuk, it says, "V'hoya ba'avruchem es ha'yardin tokimu es avonim o'ela shonochi mitzav eschem hayom b'har evol v'sadeto oisom basid." So this pasuk from Perek of Zion is a reference to Har Grizim and Har Evol, and it indicates, the word ba'avruchem indicates, as soon as you cross the river, there you will find Har Grizim and Har Evol. Hence, that's the location as far as Rebbe Lozer is concerned, near the Jordan, not further west into the country. The Pasuk said in above in Pasuk Lamed, Achrei Derech Mevo HaShemesh, Mokom Shachamo Shokaas. So now the expression Achrei Derech indicates far away from Mivo HaShemesh. Now, what does he take Mivo HaShemesh to mean? From where the sun sets. So the sun sets in the west. So what the Pasuk is telling us is far from the west. Rather, as we'll say, as easterly as you can go and still be in the land of Canaan and land of Israel, that's where Hargreaves Marival is. Be'eretz HaKanani. And here the source goes on, not explaining that, but rather pointing out Eretz Chivi Hi. The reason we explain the Gemara thusly is as taken from Rashi, where he says Be'eretz HaKanani Eretz Chivi Hi B'nichusa. It's not presented as a question or as a challenge. Eino Eretz HaKanani Elo Eretz HaChivi Doha Shchem Chivi Hi. If not for Rashi's use of the word benichusa, or possibly I'm not understanding it entirely, I would read this section with a loshon tmiha. There are several phrases that are difficult to understand, and the source points out the difficulties, and in a few lines you'll notice Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov enters the picture. He comes to explain that which the Pasuk says in light of Rabbi Elazar's explanation above. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov is coming to interpret the Pasuk in accordance with Rabbi Elazar's approach. But until we get to Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov, it would appear to me that the source is to be read with a tone of wonderment. So if we read again, the Pasuk says, Be'eretz HaKanani, but you would say, Eretz Chivihi, it's really the land of the Chivi, because Shechem, which is the location for the brachas and klolos to take place, is a land inhabited not by the Canaanite people, but rather by the Chivi people. The Pasuk says, Hayoshev Barava, Valo Bein Horim Ugvos Hein Yoshvin. But is it not so that they live actually in a mountainous area, as opposed to Arava as a plain? Mul HaGilgal, Valo Loro Es HaGilgal. What do you mean near the Gilgal? But they didn't even see the Gilgal. So Rashi says, "Mo'agul rechoykim in al-gilgal heim v'hasimonim halolu lo aleim nemru v'loma nemru." So if these psukim, these phrases were not said with regard to the Har Grizim and Har Eifel per se, so why were they stated? Why are these things here? So now the explanation is forthcoming. Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov Oimer, he comes to explain in line with Rabbi Elazar above. Lo bo hakosav elo laharis lohem derech bashnia kederech she'ero lohem borishona. The words here are actually guide words for the Jewish people in how to travel, like there was a guide initially when they journeyed through the wilderness. There was there were clouds of glory, the Anane HaKovah, there was Amud HaEsh, a pillar of fire that guided them. So with the departure of those phenomena, the Torah provides guidance in how to travel. And that's what these words are referring to. The word derech, the Pasuk had made reference to Achrei Derech Mevo HaShemesh. The word Derech is B'Derech Lechu V'lo B'Sado Sukramim. Go by way of the road, not through fields and vineyards. The Pasuk had mentioned the word Hayoshev, Hayoshev Barava. B'Yishuv Lechu V'lo B'Midboros. Go through settled areas and not through deserts. Bo'arava. Ba'arava luchu v'lo b'horom ugvos. Go through the plains, not over mountains and hills. Let's glance at Rashi on the last lower part of the narrow lines. Kederech Sheher Elohim Barishonah. But say some Mitzrayim Ba'amud Onon. When they left Mitzrayim, they had the clouds of glory, Lanchoisim Haderech, to guide them through the desert. Kach Bo Achshav. So too now it comes Liashir Dachem Lohirusom Haderech to give them a straight path to travel. If you should go in the funnel shaosid on the psok, the misas Moshe. It's true that when the pasuk was recited, the pillar of cloud was still there, but the giver of the Torah knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, and it, with his death, no more clouds of glory. V'lo yelech im Yoshua, and the Amud Ha'anan would not continue with Yoshua into the land of Israel. Hayru lahem le'achas shi'avru as ha'yarden. So the Torah instructs that after they cross the Jordan, lichboish esaretz, to conquer the land, yechu derech kvusha, v'derech meishar, v'derech eretz haknani, they should go in a over a traversed path, say a straight path through the land of the Kanani, shehi arava, that is a plain. It's not hilly. The al yakifu somuch lisfas hayardein derech eretz hachivi shehi horim uvos, and not go around next to the banks of the Jordan, because that area, if you follow along the banks of the Jordan, you find it to be very mountainous, and that's where the chivi actually lived. Elo yikonsu l'socha mitzad marov rochok min hayarden v'yakifu v'yichvashu. Rather, they should go in a westerly fashion and enter deep into the land, far from the Jordan, and proceed that way and conquer the land. As we continue in the Gemara, there's a nosei, a topic heading, and it reads Ad Lamed Dalel Mabez. So there's a rather long topic ahead of us. Ketzad Ovru Yisrael Es Hayarden. The Gemara describes how the Jewish people crossed the Jordan River into the land of Israel. We're going to be using a double underline to highlight the expression B'chol Yom, and the dashed underline emphasizing the word Hayom. Now the Gemara. Tana Rabbana, Ketzad Ovru Yisrael Es Hayarden. How did the Jewish people cross the Jordan? B'chol Yom, Oro Nosea Achar Shnei Degolim. Every day, meaning during the trip of the Jewish people after the Exodus from Mitzrayim through the Midbar, the Holy Ark that contained the Ten Commandments, it traveled behind two tribes, literally two flags, but two degolim is referenced to two tribes, and the setup is described in Parshas Noso in Sefer Bamidbar. V'hayom, and now on this day, the day of crossing into the land of Canaan, Nosa Tchila, the Aron went ahead of the people. Shenemar Hine Aron Habris Adon Kol Oretz Over Lifnechem. Here the Aron Habris, the Holy Ark, the Ark of the Covenant of the Master of the World, Over Lifnechem, is going to go ahead of you. B'chol Yom V'yom, on a regular day during their travel through the Midbar, Leviim Noisim Es Aron. The Leviim carried the Aron. V'yom Nosu Kohanim. And on that day, Kohanim are actually a subdivision of the Leviim, but the Kohanim are all descendants of Aaron HaKohen. So on this day that they crossed over, specifically the Kohanim carried it. Shenemar V'hoyo Kenoyach Kapois Ragle HaKohanim Noisei Aron Hashem Vegomer. Mirtz Hashem, in the upcoming Gemara, we'll see more detail as to what took place. But on that day, the last point we mentioned is the Kohanim took over the carrying of the Aron. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.